This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
It's almost the end of the year, and as everybody does, we need to reflect back on what was awesome about 2016. And one thing that I think is universal across the world is engaging in entertainment, particularly watching films, heading to the movies, whether you stream online via streaming services or actually are old school and head to the cinema to watch a movie. We have got one of the oldest, I'm trying to find another word. A man who's part of the furniture here at Joy 94.9. He's a co-host of Outtakes, the queerest movie show on Joy, Monday nights at 7 o'clock. That is Conrad Brown. How you doing, mate?
Hi there. Really good. Hello from sunny Sydney.
Oh, it's not... No surprise here, but it's not quite sunny in Melbourne, so...
I've got a scarf on, Conrad.
No one's surprised ever. Hey, how long have you been involved with Outtakes now, Conrad?
So Outtakes just celebrated 1 year on air 2 weeks ago. So it's young, but, you know, we're very dedicated, and we've tackled quite a few of the big and the not-so-big films across 2016.
So you've always been, you used to host many years ago or co-host one of the, was it Pink Popcorn? Did that used to be on?
Very good. Well, yes, you know, I am old as time. So am I
if I remember that show, so.
I've been around forever. Pink Popcorn, and I used to do a few movie reviews every now and then. I used to pop up. It is something that I definitely don't pretend to be a professional at it, but I am a very enthusiastic amateur.
So having said that, as an enthusiastic amateur film lover, what have been some of your big favourite films of 2016?
Look, for me, it's kind of everyone's been saying the same thing, that 2016 wasn't the greatest year for cinema. There was definitely a lot of substance over style, a lot of content and not a lot of it great. But in amongst all the crap, there was a few gems that I managed to dig out, some truffles, as the pigs would say. So my favourite film year was a little Kiwi film, no surprise there, massive bias, I'll put that up front. Hunt for the Wilder People, just in terms of what I was looking for, I guess, you know, it ticked all the boxes. It was really original, it's really funny, very sweet, but that perfect mix of kind of drama and comedy, and there was messages in it, but they weren't in your face, and the talent behind it was incredible, and the young boy in it, Julian Dennison, I think, you know, they say this all the time when they uncover a young actor who kind of blows everyone away with his first role, but I really, really hope that we, you know, continue to see him in more things. He was just incredible. So, yeah, a big 10 out of 10 for me for that one.
So that's a film that starred Sam Neill, and was also, you'll get the pronunciation right, directed by the guy who did What We Do in the Shadows and Boy, and he's about to direct the upcoming Thor, the new Thor movie. Mm. What's his name?
Yeah, Taika Waititi.
Yes.
He's incredible. And I think that kind of was the whole reason why the film really worked. He was super passionate about it. It's a really weird kind of little story out of New Zealand that's been floating around for a long time. And he just brought something to it that was really fresh and really original and genuine. That's his big thing. So even though I'm not a big fan of those kind of superhero movies, I'm holding out for good things with Thor because I hope he brings all of that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to disagree with you on Hunt for the Wildebeest. It wasn't my favourite of his films. Mm. I thought it was a little bit too sweepy with its, you know, sweeping shots of the lush New Zealand landscape. But I'm sure as a Kiwi yourself, you probably loved seeing the beauty of your own country. But
I was
jealous.
I can watch New Zealand tourism videos and get, you know, swept away. So, yeah. So I thought it was very sweet. It was very cool.
But Julian was great, very, very deadpan. And there's also some Aussie documentaries that you've penned or picked as your top films for 2016. Which ones are those?
Yeah, so there was three documentaries. And funnily enough, these will probably also be considered my favourite queer films for the year as well. And I think it just is a real testament to Australian filmmaking that documentaries in particular do so well. So the first one I saw at MIFF, it was called Winter at Westbeth. And it's actually documents a group of artists from a collective in New York City. But the director and the person who kind of pulled the whole idea together, he's from Melbourne. And he had a sold-out session at MIFF. And the film is just really beautiful. It just talks about three different people who live in basically what is one of the last subsidized housing artist communes in New York City, called Westbeth. And it was a dancer, a poet, and this really eclectic older lady who was a muse for a lot of people. And it was just really beautiful. Again, kind of, you know, the most simple thing, just telling people stories. But so unassuming, you know, when you look at these people that they've led these incredible lives. So, one to really keep a lookout for. I think it's getting a limited run at Acme in January or February. So, yeah, keep a lookout for it. The other one was Wide Open Sky, a really, really sweet documentary about the children's choir that they pull together every year from kids out in the Australian kind of, you know, rural and regional areas, mainly around on the East Coast. But, I think it was made for television originally and had a little limited season at Nova, and again, just a really beautiful story. You know, these kids kind of living out in these properties all on their own, or, you know, thousands of miles away from kind of everything, and they get this opportunity to be a part of this group choir, and they learn how to sing and be a part of this big event, and just seeing their story and seeing their kind of, you know, really had me turn, but their journey, I guess, was really, really sweet. And there's some really great little surprises through it, and especially about what happened to a few of them afterwards as well. So I really encourage you to look that out. It might even be online for free to watch, I would assume.
And then you had Remembering the Man, didn't you, as well? Yeah. The very powerful one, the story about Tim, and I've gone blank on the other guy's name. Tim Conagrave, and what was his partner's name, Conrad?
You just caught me out as well.
Yeah, I know, I've just gone completely blank. So it's the based on the interviews with Tim Conagrave, and everybody saw Holding the Man, the fictional drama of their love story and love, you know, life together. Remembering the Man was a documentary version of it. And I tell you, I have not cried so much watching a film in a really, really long time. Mm. It was such a well-made documentary, not only because of their stories being so heartbreaking, but also because it was just so well made. And I was so proud of, like, the Australian production team for putting it together. Mm, what did you think, Conrad?
I loved it. I totally agree with you. And I think the thing for me was, I thought Holding the Man, the movie, was really, really well done. You know, I know that there's a lot of limitations with things like funding and everything, but it didn't take away from anything with that movie. It was really great. But this documentary just filled in a lot of those kind of other little spots and reminded you, I mean, you know, not that you can really forget, but it's a true story of all the other people in it that were affected, because, you know, the book and the movie were really about those two central characters,
Tim and John.
Their family and friends. Yeah.
Let's give John the naming that he deserves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was really beautiful. And again, you know, just such a great story to tell. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
I find it interesting that your top queer films are all docos or non-fiction. And it sort of resonates with me, because I think within our community, sharing real stories is so important that we kind of hold on to that. Do you reckon there's been, I mean, traditionally docos don't get as much, or non-fiction films don't get as much airtime. Has there been a bit of a swing towards documentary of late, Conrad?
You know what? I think it comes down to the fact that it is really, really hard to make a film nowadays anyway. And here, you know, unless you kind of have all of those elements that they think it's going to be successful, it's usually, you know, people doing it independently and things like that. And I think documentaries are a way to that really kind of tap into our collective sensibility. There's something that an original story is amazing, and when it all comes together, brilliant. But something that has already been told but hasn't kind of been shown to the world, it's got all these interesting characters, and there's something that you can relate to. I feel like they're becoming a lot more prevalent, and it might also have something to do with the fact that we're a little bit more open to those types of stories as well as a community, because we're always looking for them. We're always sharing our stories. So, yeah, look, I'm not too sure. I'm just really happy that, I found three films this year that I really connected with, and that they all happened to be Australian was just great.
Hey, Conrad, so speaking of queer films, one of the films I think that has some of the biggest Oscar buzz around it, and one of the films I am absolutely dying to see, is called Moonlight, and you've pegged that one as the absolute must-see of 2017. Tell us what that movie's about and why it is getting so much buzz.
So from my kind of scouring the internet and reading everything I could about it, it's basically the reason why it is generating so much buzz is that it's based on a young boy and telling his story when he's a child and when he's an adult. He's African American. He's coming to terms with his sexuality, and a lot of it is really kind of rooted in that. There's that perception that it's going to be this type of film because people are going to act in that kind of way, and what it's getting a lot of praise for is that it's handled really, really well. It's quite genuine and real, and it's a story that we don't hear a lot of, and people overseas are really celebrating it because you just don't get a lot of, we don't get a lot of really quality queer films that are released, in general release, but also ones about people of colour. So in that regard, it's ticking lots of boxes, but from all accounts, all of the lead actors and the supporting cast are getting tons of buzz and lots of nominations. So it definitely has, ticks all the boxes for me. It's definitely my one to watch with award season coming up.
So I know that that's screening at the Mardi Gras Film Festival next year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's going to be here for MQFF, but it will have limited release, I believe, in January. And I just want to say this because I want to sound fancy. I know the word. It's told in a triptych, so in three parts.
Oh, nice.
Fancy schmancy.
It's got a bunch of Y's in it, isn't it?
You're so fancy.
I'm so fancy on a Saturday morning. It's how I do. Hey, Conrad Brown, thank you so much. Have a great Christmas and enjoy your day tomorrow. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks, Amy. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.